Every Thursday, we read from your letters, and we begin with a sampling of the response to a commentary by Kathy Y. Wilson of Cincinnati. Ms. Wilson wrote about patriotism and the current enthusiasm for flying the flag.
Neil Perry of Providence, Rhode Island, wrote to Ms. Wilson, "Flying a flag can simply denote a general pride. Just because you see someone flying a flag, it doesn't mean they are in the NRA or that they are on the U.S. bobsled team. Maybe you should ask the next flag flyer you see why they are flying that flag. If their answer is for blind, jingoistic pride, feel free to get upset. If nothing else, go home and fly your flag in thanks that you are allowed to fill the airwaves with thoughtless and ill-formed opinion."
A different view from Abe Hollander of Sparks, Maryland. Kathy Wilson's piece on flags captures my feelings so totally. I now feel like I am not the only one who understands the difference between patriotism and nationalism. Supporting our country and remembering those who were lost on 9/11 do not fix inherent problems that we have in this country. We need to have room in our collective conscience to accommodate both pride and critical thinking.
We had some complaints about a story on the possibility of terrorists infecting U.S. livestock. Robin Nofsinger is among those who thought the story should not have been aired. He writes, "Dear sirs, I am a beef and pork producer in Northwest Ohio. As I was on the road returning from transporting a load of baby pigs that had just been weaned from their mothers to a warm nursery facility, I caught the Daniel's Wordling article on terrorism and the food supply. I found the article to be very factual and correct. The food supply is indeed very much at risk. Animals cannot be made secure by locking them up at night and watching for sneaky-looking strangers. But the best place for articles of this type is technical publications that reach the less than 2% of persons that actually produce the food you are able to eat so cheaply. I appreciate your news coverage in general, and NPR is the only station that I listen to when baseball is not in season."
From Walid Al-Akhtar of Danbury, Connecticut, "Your story about fasting was engaging. It covered in less than 5 minutes many of the principles and the history of fasting among the three religions. I only want to add one correction, and that is Muslims fast from dawn to sunset, not sunrise to sunset. Dawn comes before sunrise and is the time Muslims call for the first prayer of the day, known as Fajr prayer."
And finally, this from Karen McKee, who writes from Chicago to thank us for the obituary of Memphis songwriter and performer Rufus Thomas. Ms. McKee describes seeing Thomas on stage at a club in Amsterdam in 1996. She writes, "He fronted a great huge band of musicians and singers and was marvelously clad in vibrant orange shorts and silver high-top boots. The bass started thumping strains of his signature tune, Do the Funky Chicken. Rufus, who was close to his 80s at the time, flirted and cooed to us, saying this one was for girls only. It was a funky chicken contest. We shagged and strutted, cackled and crowed. The band and dancers hit a fevered crescendo of poultry in motion. Lost in the groove, I finally looked up to see that this hen stood alone. Rufus and I locked eyes, singing and dancing and flirting up the verse and down the backbeat. This white chick from the suburbs of Washington, D.C. had her funk on." Ms. McKee concludes, "I've been a performer since I was a child, and I can honestly say it was the most electric, connected moment with someone else I've ever had on stage."
Thanks to all for writing. Our address is Letters, All Things Considered, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code is 2001. By email, it's atc@npr.org. Please tell us where you're writing from and how you say your name.